You need to take advantage of the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack. Everyone loves the Thunderstorm. It doesn't take up any floor space, there are no filters to replace, and it's only one-third the cost of those big, bulky air purifiers. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use discount code Howie.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, The Spectator, and The Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. And thank you all so much for tuning in today on this wonderful, beautiful, sunny Friday afternoon. And I've got news for you. There's a lot of headlines coming out of the Granite State today. You've got Ron DeSantis. He was visiting New Hampshire. You have a story about how Joe Biden might be in trouble because he decided to move the first in the nation primary from New Hampshire to South Carolina. And New Hampshire's not going to budge. That's Granite Staters for you. They're not going to take it. They're saying, oh, we're going to keep going with our primary anyway. And that puts Joe in a little bit of a sticky situation because now he might just lose to RFK Jr. or Marianne Williamson, because he's not technically, by the DNC's rules, allowed to put his name on the ballot. It is a beautiful thing, isn't it? You love to see it. And so we're going to talk about all of this later on. But in the meantime, if you want to go to New Hampshire right now, it's a perfect time to go to Laconia, go to Fun Spot. Howie Carr and Caroline Levitt are coming up in the show after mine, and they are going to have so much fun there. There's so many games. There's hopefully some pizza, and it's just a really great spot to be. So I'm really encouraging everybody to head to Fun Spot to see the two Granite State celebrities of the day, Caroline Levitt and Howie Carr. Now, a story that I want to talk about, and it's really not a story, it's a statement by Supreme Court Justice Neil Gorsuch, and it's an excellent, excellent statement. It's some of the most concise, deliberate writing I've seen in a very long time, and I think you guys are really going to enjoy this, so I'm going to read most of it to you. And it has to do with COVID, and it's really just a look back on what COVID did as far as robbing us of so many of our freedoms. And I think it's important, and you know, you could look at this and say, oh, well, Gorsuch is a little too late, who cares, you know, where were you? But I think it's valid to reflect on that time, because we forget. You forget things so fast. You forget how miserable it was and how we were being treated like sheep and being told you can do this, but you can't do that. You can sit here, but you can't sit there. If you stand up, you have to put a mask on. If you sit back down, you can take it off. And what shocked me the most about COVID was how shortly after it ended. And I know, I don't mean the COVID-19, I know that it's still out there, some people still get it. I mean the restrictions, the lockdowns. Shortly after the lockdowns ended, it was strange how I went back to feeling like, oh yeah, this is normal. Now we're back to normal life. And that's kind of a problem. You know, if something lasts for over 2 years, and you're thinking about it every day, thinking, I had to put my mask on, I can't go to church today, my grocery store's got arrows, I got to follow the arrows, I got to get the vaccine, and you're going and you're ticking off all these things they tell you to do. And then when they give you your freedoms back, little by little, you forget about that time. You forget about the control they had. Then the next time it happens, it's going to happen the same way. And I'll never forget when the lockdowns originally started, somebody said to me, we're all going to reach a point where we put this in the rearview mirror, where it feels like it was a long time ago, where it feels like something we don't have to worry about, and we'll forget about it. But the people in charge are never going to forget how we bent the knee, how we folded, how we did what we were told and we gave in and we caved on so many things. They're not going to forget that. They're filing that away. And I think for a lot of these leaders, it was surprising to them. It was surprising because, as Fauci says, we usually have that liberty thing, that spirit, that independent spirit. But a lot of us lost that. And I don't, trust me, I'm not holier than thou here. I followed a lot of rules and I look back and I think, wow, how pathetic was that? That I was even listening to half this stuff. But it's amazing what happens when the government and people in charge use fear and emotional manipulation to try to convince you to do certain things. It's amazing how many people, like myself, fall into line. So I want to read you a little bit of this because Gorsuch says it a lot better than I can. Since March 2020, and if you want to call in, if I say a part of this or you think I'm missing a part of this or you just want to add on, it's 844-500-4242. Since March of 2020, we may have experienced the greatest intrusions on civil liberties in the peacetime history of this country. Executive officials across the country issued emergency decrees on a breathtaking scale. Governors and local leaders imposed lockdown orders, forcing people to remain in their homes. They shuttered businesses and schools, public and private. They closed churches, even as they allowed casinos and other favored businesses to carry on. They threatened violators, not just with civil penalties, but with criminal sanctions, too. They surveilled church parking lots, recorded license plates, and issued notices warning that attendance at even outdoor services, satisfying all state social distancing and hygiene requirements, could amount to criminal conduct. They divided cities and neighborhoods into color-coded zones, forced individuals to fight for their freedoms in court on emergency timetables, and then changed their color-coded schemes when defeat in court seemed imminent. Federal executive officials entered the act too, not just with emergency immigration decrees. They deployed a public health agency to regulate landlord-tenant relations nationwide. Here's why I really enjoyed this statement by Gorsuch. You forget how many parts of our lives were changed, and not through law, not through voting, not through any sort of procedure, but just decrees. How many things suddenly changed? Student loan debt was paused. Rent was paused. You had all these moratoriums. And nothing went through a process. Because I guess if you start yelling, emergency, 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 then everything else falls by the wayside. Nobody has to follow any rules. They used a workplace safety agency to issue a vaccination mandate for most working Americans. They threatened to fire non-compliant employees and warned that service members who refused to vaccinate might face dishonorable discharge and confinement. Along the way, it seems federal officials may have pressured social media companies to suppress information about pandemic policies with which they disagreed. While executive officials issued new emergency decrees at a furious pace, state legislatures and Congress, the bodies normally responsible for adopting our laws, too often fell silent. Courts bound to protect our liberties addressed a few, but hardly all, the intrusions upon them. Later he says, but maybe we have learned another lesson too. The concentration of power in the hands of so few may be efficient and sometimes popular, but it does not tend toward sound government, however wise one person or his advisors may be. Yeah, I know who I'm thinking of. Oh, wise one, who has the pillows behind him and the candles and gets on MSNBC and CNN every other day. That's the wise one he, I think, is referring to. However wise one person or his advisors may be, that is no substitute for the wisdom of the whole of the American people that can be tapped in the legislative process. Decisions produced by those who indulge no criticism. Again, who could he be referring to? Are rarely as good as those produced after robust and uncensored debate. decisions announced on the fly are rarely as wise as those that come after careful deliberation. Decisions made by a few often yield unintended consequences that may be avoided when more are consulted. And then he just says that he hopes we learn our lesson. I don't know. That's my question for the audience. 844-500-4242. We look back on this, and we're still seeing the repercussions. We're still seeing the suicide rates. We're still seeing the education, the decline in reading skills, in math skills, in social skills of young people in this country. Think of all the restaurants that you probably love that never came back. Think of all the small businesses that were shut down. Not because they wanted to be, not because they had been in business for 30 years and decided now's the time to hang it up, because they were forced to. Think of all the, you know, just this week they had the testimony of families who had parents or grandparents or loved ones or in-laws die in the nursing homes in New York. Think of all of the things that occurred during that time period. And like Gorsuch points out, it was the decisions of a few people wielding power over the rest of us, telling us they know best, telling us they know, you know, what your kids should learn, what vaccines you need to get, what table you should sit at, how far apart you should stand, when it's okay for you to go worship, whatever your worship may be, whatever your church may be. They had all the answers. And there was no debate. There was no debate whatsoever. And now as we look back after all this time, it turns out on a lot of these fronts, whether it be vaccines or natural immunity, on a lot of these fronts, they were wrong. And you might think, oh, it's not going to happen again. But I wouldn't be so convinced. I think if anything, what a lot of these political leaders saw is that it can happen again. That they could easily do this again. Round two. And now they know exactly how to play it. Now they know exactly what levers to pull to get everybody to fall in line. We'll be right back. We'll take your calls on this. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Show will be right back. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Thank you all so much for tuning in. We got people on the lines who want to talk about this. I was just discussing Gorsuch's recent statement on COVID and on some of the civil liberties that were intruded upon because of the pandemic. And I thought he laid this out really brilliantly, and it might seem obvious to everyone, but it's important. It's important that, especially coming from a Supreme Court justice, that we recognize this, that we have this in black and white in the history books so that hopefully we learn from it, so we don't repeat it. So next time this happens, we can say, you know what? I respect your concern. I understand that you want to be overly cautious about this, but I'm going to handle this in my own way. And I don't I don't blame anybody who was panicky at the beginning before we knew what was happening, but as it got further and further along, I do blame people like Dr. Fauci and Rochelle, who just continue to clamp down on people's freedoms in order to boost their own egos and kind of confirm their own theories on COVID, which all ended up being false. They were wrong about so many different things. Fauci was wrong on masks. He was wrong on natural immunity. He was wrong on the Wuhan lab leak theory, which turned out to not be such a theory after all. And so I do think that it's valid to go back and kind of remind ourselves of just exactly what situation we were in and how we can avoid it going forward. Bob, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Bob.
Hi, Grace. Yeah, I left work early today, and what you're talking about really hits home with me. My son, when he was at the trade school, he had received a John and Abigail scholarship to go to the University of Massachusetts for 4 years, and he declined that to go into the United States Air Force. And while serving in the Air Force for 8 years, he had gone over to Afghanistan. And when he came back from Afghanistan, he came down with MS, and he ended up losing his eyesight in one eye. And he at the time was, you know, with his wife. His wife was pregnant, so they came back home from the military after 8 years. And you know, he ended up getting a job with the state of Massachusetts. And he worked there for several years, and he had, you know, reached the rank. You know, he came out of the service as a staff sergeant, and working for the state of Massachusetts, he became a supervisor, too, for the Department of Transitional Assistance. And so he didn't want to take the mandated, you know, vaccine that Charlie Baker had ordered. And so he ended up, you know, he applied for the exemption, but they didn't accept his exemption. So having MS and being on the medicine he's on, he didn't want to stay. You know, he didn't want to do that. And I could fully understand that because, you know, he had already lost one eye.
Right.
Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing. My son never once in his entire life, you know, came out of the Air Force. He never once had anything bad to say. He always moved forward. You know, he came from home from the Air Force, medically discharged. He got himself a job working for the state, and he was doing really good. And he was, you know, in, at the time when Charlie Baker mandated that he get the vaccine, you know, and they didn't accept his exception, he ended up leaving, and, he, you know, he's doing fine. He got himself another job because that's the kind of person he is. Now he's got three kids, and at the time, you know, the mandate came and, he, you know, he left that job. He, you know, he had three kids, a house to support, and, you know, he just wasn't going to do it because, you know, he's already on medication for that.
Right. And Bob, I want to first of all tell you to tell your son thank you for his service. But I also want to point out, you just said, you know, your son is the kind of person who that didn't slow him down. He kept moving forward. You know, he was a strong enough person to not be deterred from all of these setbacks. And he's blessed that he has that kind of fortitude. But there are a lot of people out there, and I'm sure Bob would agree with me on this. There are a lot of people out there who aren't made of that kind of stuff, and it's not their fault, but there are a lot of people now who have slipped through the cracks, who are never going to be right, who are never going to be okay because of the setbacks from the mandates, from the lockdowns, from the shutdowns, from the disturbances in our day-to-day lives. And those people, I don't know what they're going to do. But thank you for the call, Bob. I appreciate it. I appreciate your son, and God bless him. And I hope that he's doing a lot better now. When we come back, we'll take more calls on this. We've got a lot of people on the lines who want to discuss, you know, their COVID stories. And everybody's is different. And everybody lost something or someone. And the further out we get from it, the more I think we need to reflect back. And we need to really hold people accountable who cheered on. They didn't just allow for this kind of insanity, but they cheered it on. They welcomed it. They wanted it. Disturbing stuff. When we come back, we'll take more of your calls. We got a lot to get to. Don't forget to head to Fun Spot in Laconia, New Hampshire to see the captain in Caroline Levitt. We'll be right back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. I just got the confirmation from the mailroom manager. There is pizza at Fun Spot in Laconia, New Hampshire. And beyond everything else they have, they've got Howie Carr, they've got Caroline Levitt, they've got games, pinball machines, Donkey Kong. But then you add pizza into the mix, and it's Friday perfection. So make sure you check out the remote that's coming up next. We're going to be talking to Howie and Caroline around 2:45-ish. But let's go to the callers now. We're discussing COVID-19, the pandemic lockdowns, after Supreme Court Justice Gorsuch put out some statements about the about the lockdowns and just how intrusive they were in regards to our freedoms in this country, and how we all, not all, I shouldn't say all, because I know a lot of the listeners out there are probably going, speak for yourself, Grace. But a lot of us gave in little by little. And we thought, if we just, 15 days, if I just wear the mask for a couple more weeks, if I just get the vaccine, or if I just get the other vaccine, or if I just get boosted, then I'll get my freedoms back. And you really do start to learn, and maybe this is just something I learned because I was younger, but you start to learn that's not how things work. You don't give up freedoms to eventually get them back. If you're giving up some one of your freedoms, no matter which one it is, you better be okay with never, ever getting that freedom back again. Frank, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Frank.
Hi, how are you?
Good, what's going on?
First of all, congratulations to you on the baby, and congratulations. I forgot to tell Taylor congratulations when he answered the phone for me.
Oh, thank you, Frank. I'll pass it on to Taylor. Appreciate it.
Yes. Anyway, my wife and I run a sign shop on the South Shore of Massachusetts, and when the whole COVID thing first started, the town sent us letters and started to give us daily fines for having our sign shop open, and the health inspector told us, well, your business is non-essential. Then, ironically, I sent the health inspector the pictures and photographs of all the signs I did over at Town Hall that said Town Hall closed due to COVID. The health inspector then called my wife back and laughing because, I was essential for a time, I guess, until they tried to tell me I wasn't essential.
And you know what, Frank, the whole conversation around who's essential and who's not, I mean, if it's your job, I don't care what it is, it's essential to you. I might just be a radio host, and I don't pretend to be some sort of surgeon. I'm not saving lives here, but I can tell you that I consider my job essential. I come here, and this is how I make a living. And I think a lot of people feel like that. I think I would actually say almost everyone feels that way. And, Frank just brought up the health inspector thing. I'll never forget there was a video of a restaurant owner. And, we talk to so many different restaurant owners. And so many of our clients are in the service industry. And so it really does. It means a lot to us that we give a voice to those people because they were so mistreated during this pandemic. But I remember there was a video, and I think it was out of California, but there was a young man and he was running a restaurant and they told him, you can have outdoor dining, and then no, now you have to bring it back in. The chairs have to, it was, they were going back and forth with him. And a video went viral of him just losing it on this health inspector. And you could hear in his voice, he was so tired and he was so beaten down by all of these ridiculous regulations. And he had paid to get patio furniture so that he could have chairs outside because he couldn't have people inside after a certain time of night or yada, yada, yada. And I was looking at the responses to this video when it first came out, and I still remember it because there was a lot of people who were like, well, why doesn't he just follow the rules? Why doesn't he just do what he's told? And I thought, oh, it made me sick. Like, some things restore your faith in humanity, and some things really make you question what's going on. And I was reading those replies, and I was thinking, if you hear this guy's voice, and you can't hear the pain in his voice, you can't hear the desperation of someone trying to survive, trying to keep his business alive, if your response to it is, well, he should just bring the patio furniture inside and stop making such a big deal about it, then you're a lost cause. You are a lost cause. You are exactly the kind of person that Dr. Fauci loves. You are the prototype of what the Democrats want us all to be, which is just obedient, subservient sheep who don't ask any questions, who, get our vaccines and just move along. And there were so many different videos. Remember Frank Mendoza? Frank Mendoza's friend of the show. I mean, he went viral too because he was outside and he said, I can't do this anymore. I've got to make a living. This is what I do. I'm not afraid. It was almost like the scene in Home Alone when Kevin goes down the basement and sees the furnace and says, I'm not afraid anymore. A lot of people hit that point. 844-500-4242. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack Special. Everyone loves the Thunderstorm. It doesn't take up any floor space. There are no filters to replace. And you can get this if you just go to EdenPureDeals.com. Use code GRACE to get the 3-Pack. Matt, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Who looks worse due to the Durham report? Hillary Clinton, the FBI, or the media?
I'm going to say the media because I can't stand the media. They drive me nuts.
The media is in second place with 19%, followed by Hillary Clinton with 9%, and the FBI has run away with it with 72% of the vote.
Congrats to the FBI. You know what? They needed a win this week. It was a tough week for the FBI. If this is where they get their win, that's okay. Now, as we're talking about COVID, the lockdowns, I have a story here that I think ties in, and it also ties into New Hampshire, which is very convenient because that's where Howie's going to be broadcasting from in just a few minutes. New Hampshire Democrat. I'm going to ask Caroline Leavitt about this, too. New Hampshire Democrat Tommy Hoyt tells parent to shut up about parental bill of rights. So you've heard about these parental bill of rights. And when you hear about them, they almost sound absurd because they're so obvious. It's like parents deserve to know what you're teaching their kids. Parents deserve to know what's going on with their children. And you think, we really have to write this down? Isn't this just common knowledge? But we do have to write it down. Not only do we have to write it down, but then Democrats lose their minds over it. I remember I was watching Fox and Tommy Lauren said this. She said, a lot of this stuff sounds stupid when Republicans bring it up. Like, even think back to the parental, I don't know if it was called the Parental Bill of Rights, but the bill that DeSantis signed. And it ended up being called the Don't Say Gay Bill. Had nothing to do with that. But it seemed ridiculous that you had to say teachers shouldn't be talking to kids K through, you know, fourth or fifth grade about gender ideology or any of these things. It seems ridiculous that you have to point that out. Like, it seems as if we could all get on board and be on the same page about, yeah, that's probably not something that needs to be discussed with children that young. But when you put these things on paper and you say, we want to pass this as a bill, it forces Democrats to fight it and to make their case against it. And it's actually a really smart move on the part of Republicans. So in New Hampshire, they want to have a parental bill of rights, which they've had in other states. And a parent of four emailed this Democrat, Tommy Hoyt, and he was asking him to pass the bill that seeks to establish a parent's bill of rights that would prevent public schools from withholding information about their children. Now, Hoyt's response was very angry. And he argued that the COVID-19 pandemic has, and we just talked about some of the things COVID taught us, some of the lessons that could be learned from the pandemic, lessons about how you shouldn't be giving up your freedoms. These decisions shouldn't be made by a handful of government leaders. There's plenty of things that you could gather from what we went through. Here's what Hoyt thinks we learned from the pandemic. He said the pandemic had demonstrated that parents are incompetent teachers and shouldn't be involved in their children's education. Here we get ready. Here's the exact phrasing from this Democrat. Do you know why children's results tanked during COVID? Their parents were incompetent teachers. Do your children a favor. Let the teachers teach and shut up. You're clearly no professional, he emailed the parent. Yikes. Now, someone should have told Tommy Hoyt how this worked out for Virginia Democratic gubernatorial candidate Terry McAuliffe, because he said something similar, I would say actually a lot in a much nicer way. He said, I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach. You know what that led to? That led to him losing the election, because it turns out parents don't like to be told that there's no place for them in their children's education or in their children's lives. You know what else I don't think parents are too keen on? I don't think parents are too keen on the Biden administration telling them they're not your children. They're everyone's children. They're the nation's children. American parents, not big fans of that. And after watching their kids be kept home from school and learning off laptops and seeing what their kids were learning, which I think was like the one silver lining of this thing, was that parents got to see the kind of brainwashing that was going on. I don't think they're going to appreciate Tommy Hoyt telling them that they're terrible teachers and they should do their children a favor and let the teachers teach and shut up. Someone should tell Tommy Hoyt, you get more bees with honey, my friend. Maybe try a different tactic. One more thing here before we go to break, and I would be remiss if I did not mention it. DiFi is getting a lot of pushback. A lot of people are asking her to resign, including Democrats. She's 89 years old. She's back in the Senate. She had shingles. Apparently, it's our fault. It's the Republicans' fault that she's back because we wouldn't let her. We wouldn't approve of a temporary replacement for her. So now it's our fault that DiFi's back after her shingles episode in the hospital. Again, you got to kind of do backflips in your mind to figure that one out. But there's a cut we have. We have sound of Senator Dianne Feinstein. And she was asked about the fact that when she returned, she got a standing ovation and she got a very warm welcome. And she, I don't know if she doesn't remember that she was gone or if she's just trying to downplay the fact that she was absent for weeks. But take a listen to her response.
What have you heard?
What have I heard about what?
About your return. How have they felt about your return?
No, I haven't been gone.
Okay.
You should follow me. I haven't been gone. I've been working.
You've been working from home is what you're saying?
No, I've been here. I've been voting. Please, either know or don't know.
She's been gone for 2 months. She says, I've been here. And you know what? Normally, I would say the reporter should say back, well, you have been gone for 2 months. But in this case, I can't even blame the guy. It's like he's talking to a grandparent. You know what I mean? You don't want to. There's only so much you can push it until you can hear it in his voice. He goes, okay, sure.
He goes, you've been working from home?
Yeah, it really is like just someone talking to their grandparent going, okay, okay, yeah, okay. That sounds good. Okay. Whatever you say. Like, he's not going to fight her on it. He's like, clearly she's no idea what's going on. It's a strange story. And then when you factor in the element of Nancy Pelosi's daughter being her caregiver, this is just bizarro world. We'll be right back with Howie. Inflation's at a 40-year high. You need to take advantage of the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-pack. Not one, not two, but three. One of our listeners didn't buy just one 3-pack. He bought two of them. You might say, he bought 2 3-packs, so he has 6 thunderstorms. There's so many uses for these devices. You can use one in your kitchen, in your car, in your bedroom, in your basement, in your mudroom. I mean, the options are endless, and it does so many different things. It works on allergens. It works on pollutants. It works to purify the air, and it's also a great gift because they come in their own high-quality boxes. You can give one as a gift to a friend who's maybe been hemming and hawing over it. Give the gift of fresh, clean air. I can't think of anything better. So go to EdenPureDeals.com, and if you use code GRACE, you will save money and you're going to receive free shipping. So there's no reason not to use that code. Use code GRACE. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. Put in code GRACE at checkout. One more time, EdenPureDeals.com. Code GRACE. When we come back, it's the moment you've all been waiting for. Live from Fun Spot, we're talking to Howie Carr and Granite Stater Caroline Leavitt. Although, you know what? When I really think about it, Howie's going to have some connection to New Hampshire. Like, we, no matter where we've been across this globe, Howie always tells me, well, I have roots here. So when we come back, we'll find out, what are Howie Carr's New Hampshire roots? I'm sure he has them. That and so much more on the other side.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley. You probably recognize her from The Thing.
acting.
Of your acting?
Yeah.
In the kitchen cooking?
The boat movie.
The boat movie.
The boat movie.
Yeah, there's no boat. There's no kitchen.
You never cooked chicken Alfredo with a friend?
No.
This is the, who is it again? Grace Curley Show.
All right, everybody, I've been teasing this all day long. Howie Carr and Caroline Leavitt are in Fun Spot in Laconia, New Hampshire. They're joining the show now. We know Caroline has Granite State roots. That much is obvious. The question now is, Captain, please tell us what part of your family tree or what part of your background started in New Hampshire.
My father was the assistant manager at the old Mountain View House in Whitefield, and it's now the Mountain View Grand, and I used to spend a lot of the summer in Whitefield, and I used to own a condo in the ski community of Lincoln.
Of course, I should have known. All right, you two, give us the rundown. What's the atmosphere like, and what can people expect today?
Let's have a round of applause, everybody. We're going to have a great time here today. We're going to talk about New Hampshire politics. DeSantis is in the state. It's looking like Joe Biden has got big problems up here because he may not even make the ballot. So he's going to lose the first primary in the nation with 0% of the vote, which is a good indication of his popularity here at the Fun Spot, right?
Yeah, and Howie, to your point on that, as Politico said, I mean, this is all of his own making. This was his bright idea, and it's really backfiring on him.
Yes, answered prayers, Grace. You know what they say: beware the answered prayers. And he wanted this. He's got it. You know. That's the situation. And DeSantis is about to announce that he's in Concord today talking to some state reps, right, Caroline?
Yeah, that's correct. He talked to 50 state reps this morning at the Bedford Village Inn in New Hampshire. I talked to a few of them who gave me the inside baseball scoop on what that meeting was like. And I also hear from my sources, Grace, that DeSantis is on his way over to Concord to meet with our Rhino Governor Chris Sununu, maybe cut a deal for the 2024 race. We'll see if Sununu has the gall to step up and run for president or if he's going to back DeSantis. So I'm sure we'll hear some leaking of that meeting within the next few hours. So I'll bring that for our audience.
Well, Caroline, you always have a finger on the pulse of what's happening, especially going into 2024. And today there were a lot of big announcements. We heard that Tim Scott's coming into the race. We also heard that Chris Christie might announce next week. Would love to know your thoughts on that.
Hey, I got to say, though, Grace, let me just tell you what. There was some disappointing news in Boston today. There was the graduation day for New England School of Law. They were supposed to give an honorary degree. The recipient couldn't make it. Rachel Rollins.
Oh, no. For people who don't know this, Howie Carr has a column up at HowieCarrShow.com about Rachel Rollins. And he said the exact thing that a friend of mine said to me yesterday, which is, she really thought she was untouchable. And I responded back to my friend Howie, and I said, I thought she was too.
Yeah, I mean it's in the tweets. She says it. They can't. They're not above the law. She says this about the guy that she's trying to frame. Basically, he was the sitting DA in Suffolk County, Boston, and she says they're not above the law. But she thought she was.
Yeah, she also complains about leaking. You know, how dare people leak right before she decides to leak? It's really
right after she decides to leak.
Yeah.
Leaking confidential information.
Yeah.
It's
off
a beautiful
the record,
thing.
All caps, 4 exclamation points, off the record.
All right, guys.
Nothing's really off the record. That's the lesson.
We've got two blondes in New Hampshire right now who are about to deliver tons of news for you. And this blonde here in Boston is out, but we'll be back for Howie's show. Don't go anywhere.